All right, we are talking about flips. Yes, we are. So let's get right into it. All right, when you contract a property and you feel that you got the best deal, and I'm gonna skip all over finding a good deal and what makes a good deal and et cetera, et cetera. We've had other podcasts about that. If you are interested in what makes a good deal, go ahead and text me at the number in the show notes and I'll be happy to respond to you. But let's get back into it. So let's say you contract a deal, a property. It is a deal. It's going to have, you're going to acquire it. You're going to remodel it, renovate it, and you are going to sell it for a profit. And after closing costs and commissions and all that stuff, it's going to be a massive profit, or at least you hope, right? I do have properties where I've lost on in the past. I've had properties where I've made like a break even, $300. I've had properties where I made $10,000, and I've had a property where I made $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $100,000. So you're not always guaranteed success, but the more volume you do, the more work you put your hands to, the more deals and deal flow you have, you're slowly going to have volume out there, and in volume over the next few years, you're going to have those properties that will make you a large amount of sum. Guess what? By the way, while we're talking about that, just realize that you are only one to maybe three, four, five deals away from financial freedom. Flipping is amazing. I love flipping. Like, this allow you to have financial freedom if you get into the right deals. But like I said before, these deals are not always going to be the best deals. They're not always going to give you your properties, the profits you want. Even though you go from a sophisticated approach, you may or may not have the success you need. So go realize that going in and have a contingency plan to make sure that you are well protected. And that's what we're going to talk about. Now that you contracted a home, let's make sure you're well protected. Number one, what you want to do is you want to create a scope of work. Go through the property yourself and find out where you go to the property yourself and find out what you want to do to the home. Find out what you want to accomplish in this house. Find out what you want to pull off. That is going to give you the best deal possible. And if you don't know how to make a property look good, you don't have design, steal the look from some of your competition. Steal the look from somebody who is actually doing it and are successful in your area. What's successful in Atlanta may not be successful in Dallas, Texas. What's successful in Texas may not be successful in New York or California or Idaho. Every area has a different look. So you want to probably get you a Pinterest board, start building out a look, and go ahead on top of that, have your realtor find comps who are selling the highest, who are the direct comps for your properties. And then from there, you want to have something that I call in place, which is called modeling the masters. Go ahead and steal, rip off your competition, and maybe even go one step above. If they have shiplap walls and really nice backsplash, you know, barn wood in the houses, do that and an extra. If they have like this beachy look and it's real clean and clean and clear with nice tile, go one step extra. This will make sure that you're selling your property best and the quickest from day one when you put it on the market. But create a scope of work, break it all down, line item it from 1 through 60 things that you think need to be done there, or 1 through 30 things that you think need to be done there. That's going to give you the best possibility to have clear communication when you do meet a contractor. All right, talking about a contractor, let's get an inspection from your GC or your project manager. You are going to go ahead and interview 3 or 4 different people, and you're going to find out who bears witness with you. And when you do, find somebody that bears witness with you who actually understands what you want and you guys are having clear communication together. You're going to want to go ahead and talk to this person to have them do the job. But beforehand, you want to make sure that they're going to do a thorough inspection for you and they're going to go off the scope of work. And That's it. Now, you might want to also get, outside of your project manager, if you have foundation damage, you might want to get a foundation, you might want to get that looked at and get an estimate. If you have a roof that's bad, and let's say your project manager doesn't do roofs, you may want to have that inspected. So get as many inspections as you want. Usually when you're buying a fixer-upper, I don't recommend a home inspection necessarily. I think that's just a waste of money. You know the property's gonna have problems and that's why you're rehabbing it. It's a distressed property and you're going to have to go in and renovate the whole project. But fortunately for you, your GC or your project manager should be competent. And if they're not, don't work with them. But have them go work through that go walk through the property with you with the scope of work. Go line by line by line what you want to do. Listen to them. They may have good ideas. A lot of times my contractors have better ideas than what I come up with. And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. And then let them put a budget together based on their inspections and their findings and walk through. And then you're going to get the budgets and inspection reports back from all your other contractors. Like I said, if there's fire damage, if there's electrical, stuff like that, maybe your contractor may not want to involve themselves in, so you got to go get a specialist, foundations. That's what you're wanting to do. Go ahead and put that together. And then what they're gonna do for you is they're gonna create a final rehab budget. You're gonna take their estimates, the person that you chose out of the three you interview and you find somebody that you bear witness with, you're gonna take their rehab budget and put that on a line item. And you're gonna take everybody else's budgets. Let's say you're third partying out HVAC, you're third partying out a water seal and foundation crack repair. Line item all that up and now take the numbers and verify your resale again. So this is the next thing you want to do. You want to take all these numbers down, put them on a spreadsheet, put them on a Word document, whatever you use, but make sure that all of these numbers are what you thought they were. And if they're not, you might have to pull back, or maybe the deal isn't the best deal that you thought it was again. So check your numbers, verify your resale again, and if it is not a deal anymore, then renegotiate your contract. Show your estimates to the seller. If you have a contract and you feel that you paid too much for it or you just want a better deal, find something wrong with the property and address concerns. Address those concerns to the seller. Show them the pictures, the estimates, the letters. There is a 50-50 chance that they'll accept your renegotiation, your discount that you're trying to get them to reduce the volume or reduce the purchase price for. So again, that's the process right there. Number one, create a scope of work. Number two, get an inspection from all of your contractors and your GC or project manager, not just all of your specialist, but your GC or your project manager after interviewing three people, the person that bears witness with you. Number three, you create a final rehab budget. Number four, you verify your resale value again. And number five, you renegotiate if you have to. If your values are not where you wanted it based, or maybe your values are there, but your rehab budget is more than what you thought it was and you don't think you can get any more value, then renegotiate your contract. All right, moving on. We are going to talk about rehabbing a property. Like I said, you want to model the masters. Modeling the masters basically means that, or let me actually paraphrase it. The key to successful rehabbing is to optimize the cost and to identify the price point that you can sell quickly without spending unnecessary money. I see a lot of people, I can't tell you exactly what rehab to do in your market, but I see a lot of people who are just going crazy. They're trying to do the HGTV rehab, but you may not have to do that. You heard the podcast from yesterday that talked about the different types of rehabs. Maybe you want to do a wholetail. Maybe you want to do a cosmetic. Maybe you don't do a full detail. I don't know, but that's up to you. But you want to copy the masters who are already flipping and making quick sales and large profits for the type of homes that you're rehabbing. That's going to set you apart from everybody else and make sure that you're not putting yourself in a bad place. And, there's a lot to talk about here. There is a whole lot to talk about here. I mean, if you are doing this on your own and you are a first-time flipper and you don't really know what you're putting yourself, what you're putting on your plate, like I said last episode, where you may not have the design skills, you may not have the experience, then you're setting yourself up for failure. And a lot of times I see those failures in the process of over rehabbing and under rehabbing. So what is over rehabbing? If you add too much to the property, it may be difficult to get your money back that you put in it. If it doesn't appraise for what you were hoping for, then you could be screwed. So look, cosmetic work plays a relative small role in the appraisal, and most buyers will only pay up to the appraisal value. So I'm gonna tell you a story. I bought a property a while back and a couple years ago, and I was doing an Atlanta grade rehab, full renovation, like $110,000. And I was super excited about it, but I put it into a suburb and the property's value was no more than 155, but I put all these cosmetics in it. I'm like, man, I can push these values to 180. And I put it on the market for 189.9 just to fill it out. Sat on this property for 6 freaking months and I finally sold it for 155,000. Gosh, come on now, right? I mean, I over rehabbed it and got myself in a place where even after 16 years, I was, because of the rising appreciative market, you know, I thought I could get what I wanted, and that's not necessarily true. Don't over rehab, and don't over rehab based on the area that you're in. If you over rehab based on the proximity to wherever your other properties are or what you're seeing, let's just say you're rehabbing a home in Atlanta, Georgia that looks like a beach home. Why would you do that? You're going crazy with it. You don't want to over rehab. I know that was a bad example, but you get what I'm saying. Be meticulous on what this look is going for in your area, and don't go crazy putting too much into it. That's going to waste your money because you won't get the value there. You won't get an improved value like you think you would. Under rehabbing, this is a much worse problem. This will actually impact your ability to resell your property, eliminating all of your profits together. So you're going to ask your question, do your competitors have granite, but you are being cheap instead and putting formica in? Like, that's just dumb. I had a property in Vinings, Georgia several years ago, and it was a $500,000 purchase. I thought we could put $150,000 in rehab in it. We're going to be in it all in for $650,000, and the comps were $1 million. But guess what? This is a luxury home. I actually rehab for a living, mostly starter home to mid-price point homes in my area. And I had never rehabbed a luxury home before. And it didn't go the way I wanted it to. We priced it for $1 million. We, you know, 3-4 months down the road, we dropped it down to 950 and 900. 6 months down the road, we dropped it down to 850 and 800. 8 months down the road, we dropped it down to 700. You know, I mean, come on now. Like, this is getting stupid. A year. I sat on this property for a year and we sold it for $650,000, what I was in it for. And after closing costs, commissions, and everything, we had a $50,000 loss. So you want to be careful on what you are putting into the property and make sure that it is going to be comparable to what your other properties are going at, your competition. Like I said, let's go back to hiring contractors. This is where your contractors, their competency is most important. You want to get 3 bids. Go with somebody you click with and that has a fair price. And realize that every rehab will require some level of day-to-day management. You know, you're going to have a day-to-day management role in your remodels. And a lot of people think that they can just rehab a property, put it out there, see it from start, and then don't come back to midpoint and then the ending. There's a lot of war stories I'll go into in one of the next episodes, but you want to just make sure that you just be careful. This is your bread and butter. This is your income. And if you want to make the income like a lot of people you're seeing out there, then you got to be hands-on. All right, guys. If you like this episode, go ahead and take a screenshot, send it up to Instagram World, put it in a story, tag me in it at Brandon G. Thompson. And if you want to, go ahead and text me any questions. I'm looking at my app once a day. It's a community app. I actually answer these personally. Any questions you have about anything you hear in any of these episodes, text me. All about wholesaling and flipping and short-term rentals and long-term rentals. Ask me anything. And then lastly, if you are interested in a real estate course, a training, go to reisocietyedu.com and you will find all of my virtual training programs right then and there. This is where you're going to actually get access to online modules. You'll get access to different contract templates, a bunch of different links, me teaching and training you through those online modules. And then on top of that, you actually get access to our closed Facebook group, where you have access to me, not only me, also my students in that community who are willing to take their time to answer any and all of your questions. All right, guys, see you in the next episode.